What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of February 1st, 2019, coming to you from the OWC Studios, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. You want to check out owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into. And I am Dave Graveline. Erasmo's in the control room, H working, and NYC on the program.
I'm Chris Graveline in the MIA.
Very good, representing.
Yeah.
Yes, we're, by the way, everyone else across the country that has suffered bitter cold or worse in terms of suffering, we hope that everybody made it out okay and stayed warm. We're thinking of you in Miami with our 70, now 80-degree temperatures again.
Yeah, so I think it was yesterday morning I saw on Facebook somebody shared a photo. It was a weather map with all the temperatures around. Everybody's in the 20s and 30s and the negatives. And then you see Miami was 64. It was like everybody hates Miami right now.
Yeah, I know. And then warming up the whole rest of this week.
Yeah, so I think we're supposed to be in the 80s by early next week.
Yeah. So, sorry. Nobody's holding a gun at your head up there. Right, sorry, not sorry. Exactly. One of the things I liked the most was the meme where, you know, you see these air traffic control things where you can see all the planes flying across the Atlantic or, you know, over, here's the airplane activity over the U.S. Somebody had it where airplane activity over the U.S., it was all Florida. No planes anywhere else. Just all converged on Florida. Well, hey, that's why we're here. Of course, we're born and raised here. Not Erasmo. He was born and raised in Milan. And as in Italy, but he's choose to live here now. He chose to live here now. So there you go. You know, although we don't want everybody coming here, we have enough people.
Right.
So stay where you are. Just stay warm.
Right. But in all seriousness, any of our listeners that are up there in those super cold areas, we hope you're safe because I mean these have been record breaking cold temperatures.
I know. And the recommendations had been to just stay inside.
Yeah,
that's why they've closed school. A lot of companies closed, etc. If your company says they're concerned about your well-being and didn't close and make you go to work, they're not very concerned about your well-being, are they?
Yeah, I mean, even the Postal Service, they say, no snow nor sleet, but they've stopped.
Yeah.
They've even told people in Chicago, don't open your mouth if you go outside.
Isn't that weird? I mean, we just can't relate to that here in Miami, but I understand, having been visiting cold climates, if it's so cold where you take a breath and your lungs hurt. From the coldness, from the frost, can you get frostbite in your lungs?
I don't know.
That they're saying, cover your mouth, don't speak, don't breathe heavily, short little breaths. My goodness, something we can relate to.
All I know is, last week it was, I think, 55 degrees when I left to come to work, and I'm putting on like three layers and a jacket and, hand warmers. And
yikes. And I did use the seat warmer. In my car late one night because it was a little cooler than I anticipated. Plus, I was in shorts.
You were in shorts?
Yeah, it's rare, very rare. If I just had to run, grab something, and come back, I didn't want to put on the jeans or something. And then I thought, oh, it's a little cooler than I thought it was when I went outside. So I just put the heat warmer on. Not on high, just on low. It was just enough and got me right back in a little 5-minute drive because then I wasn't freezing. And it was only like 59 degrees, which of course would be a heat wave for the folks suffering up north.
Yeah.
But sorry, don't mean to rub it in. And no, we don't get paid by the Miami Chamber of Commerce, though we should.
Yeah,
they should be advertising on our show as much as we're on in Alaska with a couple of affiliates and almost 200 others all around the country. Good heavens!
Hey, hey, hey.
At least come visit us in sunny South Florida. Got a little tech news?
I do.
Maybe a little commentary?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe a call or two?
Oh, I never have commentary.
Yeah,
yeah, we've noticed that.
Yeah, I know.
Facebook has begun rolling out a new feature that's bound to charm the political activists among its users called Community Actions. It lets Facebook members create an action page where they can describe what they'd like done and set up a button that like-minded members can click to show their support. The page will show government agencies and officials notified about the action, as well as the number of its supporters. Now, when you support an action, you'll be able to see any of your friends who also support it, but no other names except the tagged public officials and agencies. Action pages also have discussion feeds where people can leave comments, create fundraisers, and organize Facebook events or call your rep campaigns.
Just what we need. More crap that they're going to notify me of that I couldn't care less about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to turn off all the Facebook watch things and stuff. Got to be a way. I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, stop using Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's worked for me lately.
Yeah, but then you got to uninstall the app, and you got, and I like to let our audience know what's going on once in a while, or share a little something with a sense of humor or something. I don't want to abandon everybody. I got almost 5,000 air quotes friends, so you know that's the maximum.
I have like 300. But I also know, I actually, you know, in real life, know everybody that I'm friends with.
Well, I know all 5,000 of my friends.
But I didn't uninstall the app. I leave the app on my phone, but I've noticed that lately, the last couple of weeks, I have spent a lot less time on it.
I know. I asked if you saw a couple of my posts and went, nope.
I went probably 5 days without even opening Facebook.
Wow.
It was like a new record for me. I love it.
How do you do that?
It was awesome.
Yeah, you were busy ordering printed books to be thrown at your door from Amazon. Do you get the newspaper still, too?
No, I used to. No. I would get the Sunday paper.
Yeah, just for the coupons?
Yeah, but I would still read it.
So you might not be able to make the quick trip to the International Space Station, at least not yet anyway, but at least you can see what the astronauts see when they're up there. Well, that's the ambitious idea behind the ISS Experience, an immersive documentary series from Time and Felix and Paul Studios. Now being filmed on board the space station, the year-long project was announced at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah last week. Most of what they've said they're going to film is going to be captured inside of the space station over a period of about 9 months. But as the story builds up, it's going to gradually ramp up to a spacewalk, where they say they will take audiences outside the space station alongside the astronauts to capture the first ever cinematic virtual reality spacewalk. I would like to see that.
That would be cool, because I've thought forever that, I mean, because you've seen like the Google Street View and where they've had people with backpacks where they've gone in, and even like places like the White House and other places you can hike on top of a mountain and see Google Street View. I've always thought it would be really cool if they strapped one of those backpacks on their back somehow in space and you were able to see around like at the space station or a space shuttle.
I think that's awesome.
It'd be awesome.
I would love to see that. And of course, they're probably going to make it pay-per-view or something. I mean, somebody's got to pay for it, I guess. I just don't want it to be me. But I think that would be neat. I would love to actually watch something like that. We'll see what happens. Probably go right to Netflix or something.
Yeah, probably.
Who knows?
A British company's unusual alarm clock is designed to make waking up a little easier by brewing users their first cup of coffee for the day. The Bereshire alarm clock, which made its debut at CES, features the standard elements of an alarm clock, plus the option to have it brew a single cup of coffee or tea. The device includes a cooled chamber to store milk or cream until it's dropped into the cup by the mechanism. Now, the alarm clock, which features a design inspired by a vinyl record player, currently carries a hefty price tag, though. It's $445 if you'd like an alarm clock that'll brew you a cup of coffee.
$449 for an alarm clock.
But coffee, it'll brew you a cup of coffee.
But what if you don't drink coffee like I don't?
It'll brew you tea.
Yeah, I don't brew that either. Iced tea only, thank you. So, see, there you go. It would be a $450 alarm clock for me. That was it. But I do get the fact, because like Erasmo in the control room was shaking his head like, ooh, yeah, it sounds good. Those of you who drink coffee and like it, I love the smell of fresh brewed coffee. You know, I guess it would help me wake up, but then I wouldn't drink it.
But I've got to be honest, in my opinion, we talk all the time about products that are unveiled at CES that don't quite make it.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this is going to be one that doesn't quite make it. Because I have an alarm clock at home. It's called my iPhone. I have a coffee maker on my kitchen counter. It cost me like $50. That has a timer on. I set a timer. So if I want to wake up at 8 o'clock, I set my alarm for 8 o'clock. I set the coffee for 8 o'clock. There. I don't have to spend $445.
Do you smell the coffee brewing? And does it help wake you up?
I have.
Does it waft upstairs to your bedroom?
I have set the coffee maker to go off about 10, 15 minutes before I set the alarm for it, and it has woken me up in the morning.
I see.
Now, if I can just get my stove to start cooking bacon for me before I wake up, then I'll be even better.
Well, you could probably figure that out
at
some point. Doesn't your oven have a timer?
Yeah, it does not.
No. Well, okay, but see, we're making progress, though. We're giving people ideas. Somebody out there listening is going to go, I can do that.
I'm not sure I want my bacon or my oven to start cooking before I wake up, because what if I sleep through my alarm?
Oh, boy. Well, then you'll hear the sirens from the fire department.
Yeah.
That's one option. So Microsoft will not release its own smart speaker after all. Instead, will use its virtual assistant, Cortana, in other projects. So says Chief Technology Officer Kevin Scott. On the smart speaker side of things, he says, we've got a bunch of partners who are building Cortana-powered things right now, and we're super excited about all of those, he said. Really? They have a bunch of people. If you have your choice between putting Alexa built into your speaker or even Google Home, you're going to choose Cortana? That I don't know anybody on the planet that actually uses. I mean, if you use Cortana, by all means, share with us. How handy is it for you, and how do you use it?
I can show you on no fingers how many times I've used Cortana.
No fingers. And he goes on to say, but it's not like we're going to have a single Microsoft-branded Cortana smart speaker that's going to be the thing that carries Cortana to customers. Okay. Again, like they had a chance against Alexa and Google Home and the gazillion other smart speakers? I think it's Microsoft trying to save a little face. Because they announced that they're going to have a Cortana smart speaker, and now they're backtracking. They're saying, nah, we're not going to do that. Probably because they realized they'd sell three of them.
Yeah. In other Microsoft news, they have been working on a physical programming language for children who are blind or visually impaired, dubbed Code Jumper. It allows children to learn coding by connecting physical blocks together. Each block is around the size of a softball and brightly colored. There are different sizes for different commands, and children can connect them together to build a program. It's designed to offer students a basic understanding of coding between the ages of 7 and 11, and Microsoft originally developed Code Jumper as Project Torino and its research labs a couple years ago. It started as an improvement version of block coding for the visually impaired to address issues where traditional screen readers or magnifiers weren't enough.
Well, good for them. Now, see, that's something useful. They should spend more of their time and their bazillion dollars on things like that that will help kids and other people that need some assistance with some disability or otherwise. So I hope that continues to make good progress.
Well, now that they've dumped or they're dumping Windows Phone, finally, then sure. Maybe they can take some of those people and move them over to these divisions.
Well, it was those same three people that would have bought a Cortana speaker that bought a Windows Phone.
Yeah.
So that's why they realize it's not working. Steve Burke is the CEO at NBC Universal. He says the corporation will use the 52 million customers of its affiliated companies, basically Comcast and Sky, to build a solid foundation, he says, for the streaming service it will introduce in 2020. So expect to be bombarded if you're a Comcast or Sky customer, because there are 52 million of us that NBC Universal is going to just introduce a new streaming service. And they're going to use, they're already admitting, they're going to use that database of their customers to start telling you that, hey, we got a streaming service coming up. Why is it taking them till 2020? I don't know. They have all the content already.
You know, it's thank God that the only Comcast I have is my internet, and it.
That's because you don't have a choice.
Exactly. And the only email address they have for me is the Comcast email address that's associated with that internet account that I never check. Good. So at least I don't have to worry about it.
So everything goes to spam anyway.
Right.
And you don't bother with it. So hopefully you won't be bombarded. Let's see if their streaming service, if they're going to be smart, they're going to be competitive. Not likely. Again, it's Comcast. But if they are, they might get a bunch of customers. Of course, and then they'll do what they typically do and screw you and raise the rates anyway once you get used to what they have. Oh, boy. That would be interesting to see what happens there.
Viacom has acquired Pluto TV. Speaking of streaming, this is a free ad-supporting streaming service for $340 million in cash.
Nice.
The service, which has around 12 million monthly active users, will still operate as an independent subsidiary within the company and will retain its existing CEO. Pluto TV currently offers around 100 ad-supported channels and a library of on-demand content, both of which can be viewed free without a subscription. Of course, it's because you get ads with it.
Mm-hmm.
For Viacom, the acquisition of Pluto TV was all about getting direct access to millions of consumers, so the same thing that Comcast is using for their streaming service.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, many of these consumers are younger than the typical pay TV subscriber.
Yep. So they don't know any better.
Right. So, again, this is what we've talked about many times, that a lot of times you're the product. So the only reason they acquired Pluto TV was because they want that database of customers.
Of course. And then they're going to use and abuse it.
Yep.
That's what they do. Apple reportedly planning to add its own mobile-inclusive game streaming service, which seemed to be on a streaming thing kick here in the last few stories, to a field that includes PlayStation Now and Xbox Game Pass. Other companies are jumping on the game portability bandwagon, working on ways to let users play high-profile console titles like Halo and Assassin's Creed Odyssey on their mobile devices. So now Apple says, oh, we want in on this. And perhaps it'll work for a bunch of people. A whole lot of people are abandoning their game consoles for their mobile devices, whether it's a phone with a large enough screen to play games on and not get crazy, or their tablets or otherwise, and saying, forget the console. Who wants to sit in front of the console? They're out and about, and they want to be able to just use their portable devices. Lisa in Cary, North Carolina, listens on News Radio 680 WPTF. Hello, Lisa.
I have an iPod that I use for music at work, and I have wireless earphones, but the iPod is not Bluetooth, so I don't know how to make that so it can pick up on the wireless headphones. Would love to know how.
Me too. That sounds like something interesting. No, but Lisa, there's nothing you can do, unfortunately, on the device itself. As you probably know by now, you can buy adapters that will act as the Bluetooth transceiver that's missing from the iPod itself. You can find these devices online for really very little money, as little as like $5 even. They're not all comparable, and some of them may be harder to pair than others and may not have as strong a signal as others. But they obviously won't cost you that much money to at least try.
Yeah, another downside you'll notice right away is that these devices tend to be little squares of plastic dangling from a wire connected to the iPod's headphone jack. While it may still be better than wired headphones, it's not the most ideal Bluetooth connection, as the adapter can become unplugged in pockets or when you're moving the iPod around and the adapter hangs from a wire. Since you can get them for so little money, you might as well try one of these external Bluetooth adapters and see how you like them. Worst case scenario, you'll have wasted less than a latte at Starbucks.
Yeah, there you go. It might be worth the shot, Lisa, just to say, you know what, in my case, this does exactly what I need it to do. And great. And if not, hopefully it's only $5, $6, $8 or something like that. Not to downplay $5 or $8, but the fact is you're not spending $40, $50 or more. We've had some Bluetooth adapters that we played with that were upwards of $300, these transceivers and so forth. And that just gets a little bit crazy, but they're, you know, extended range and so forth. They still got a dangle though from the device, got to plug in somewhere. So let us know what works out for you, and we'll share it with the rest of our audience. And we thank you for calling in and participating and winning stuff on intotomorrow.com.
The OWC Envoy Pro EX with Thunderbolt 3 is the ultimate external SSD, inside and out. Designed for demanding mobile workflows that require extreme portability, the OWC Envoy Pro EX delivers a military drop test enclosure and a protective impact absorbing bumper for added security. And with elite speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second, the Envoy Pro EX provides performance for creative professionals in need of ultra-fast backup, duplication, and editing. Learn more at owc.com/into.
Welcome back to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. I'm Cameron Graveline and Chris Graveline in the studio and a Russ Mullen ratio in the control room. Now here's Dave.
Well, thank you, Cam. That is right. We are here at Into Tomorrow to answer your tech questions, solve your digital dilemmas. It's what we do.
Don't forget, you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by StreamGuys.com.
It's time for our Evolve History feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past,
here's Chris Graveline.
Graveline, line, line.
Line. IFA history. History. I was dosing.
So. Yeah. The compact cassette, invented by Philips, started its very successful career as the most popular and very practical recording medium in 1963 at the big German radio exhibition in Berlin, today known as IFA. This tiny cassette made pre-recorded music portable for the first time, and later allowed people to record their own music and listen to it outside their home. 16 years later, in 1979, the Sony Walkman was introduced at IFA in Berlin.
Wow.
And created a whole new world of portable music based on the compact cassette. That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
Where you will also find us coming up this year.
On air, online, on now.
Yeah, it'll be our 17th year, I think, if my German math is correct, broadcasting from IFA in early September. If you ever get a chance, you want to visit that show live and in person, because it is, unlike CES, it is open to the public in Berlin. So check that out at ifa-berlin.com, and do stop by our broadcast booth. You can't miss us at IFA Next, right outside the entrance for all the keynotes and panels and all the fun stuff as well at intotomorrow.com. We'll see you.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
Keeping the gadget and gizmo confusion to a bare minimum, you're tuned to your weekly update on the latest in cool consumer tech, products, services, all sorts of things available today and into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us. I thank you even more when we hear you on the air, because you can call in with any digital dilemma that you may have, any consumer tech question, anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by dialing the following number at your leisure, 800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO. And it's, by the way, toll-free from anywhere in North America. You can Skype into it from anywhere in the world if you prefer. Whatever the case, we just want to hear you on the show. Call in, win stuff, and make the show better when we have you on it. Delivering instant translation on the spot, our next guest lets us know how they are doing it. The CEO and founder of Travis is Brent Kauenhoven. Welcome into tomorrow, Brent. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice being on your show. Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. I have to say, I first experienced Travis in China a couple of years ago and was fascinated by it then. Wasn't quite available, you know, to the masses and so forth, and I don't think you had very many languages yet. But it worked well, at least so I thought. I only speak English, so I wasn't sure. But the translations seemed to work. First of all, tell our audience about Travis, those who haven't heard me talk about it on the air before, and then we'll get into why you started it and take it from there.
Yeah, Travis is a very simple device offering you the best translation available on the spot. So what we did is we combined all kind of existing software, added some software to it to make it even better, and put it in a nice piece of hardware to facilitate you to the max and to give you the best translation available. And to make you able to express yourself and to make yourself understood wherever you are in the world.
Yep, and it does work. I have been able to utilize it in Italy, in Germany, in China, And a couple of other places that escape me at the moment where I've come back talking about how it was very helpful. And picture a device that fits very easily in the palm of your hand, or in my case, more importantly, even just in my pocket where I can pull it out as needed very quickly, about the size of half the size of a smartphone is probably another good way to put it. And it's a device that does one thing, but does it exceptionally well, and that is translation. And the ability to ask simple questions, you know, this is not like a UN translator that's going to go on and on and on and do live stuff back and forth for hours. I don't think, anyway. But it certainly has given me the opportunity to ask very easy, simple questions while traveling, to experience other cultures, but learn more things from more people by using a translator. And I simply say something into the translator. And then as long as I've got a good Wi-Fi connection or LTE, you have that available as well, I understand. This one didn't have LTE, so I was out of luck when I was out of Wi-Fi area. But I understand you can put an international SIM card in and then have access. Then it does translation so that you're asking a question, you're maybe doing two or three or four sentences, and it prints it out in that language so they can either read it or hear it audibly, which I find very fascinating. And then you push another button and they can respond. And then I heard it or could read it in the translation. Is that kind of the gist of how to describe what Travis does?
Yeah, I think it's perfectly describing what we are aiming for. And of course, in the screen, you can see in text what is being said. But our main focus is speech-to-speech translation, because we think that is really elevating the experience of having a conversation with somebody. And it is indeed for asking questions to get around and to get more information. But the technology is already at a point that it also facilitates you in having a conversation in a bar for meeting a nice lady next to you, or start a conversation with a foreigner to really know about their culture or the best food in town.
Yeah, in fact, it's funny because I've done that a couple of times only to find out that the person spoke English anyway. And it was like, oh, well, then I can put this away. But it broke the ice and people were amazed at how close it was. I've had some people say, well, it's not quite what you were trying to say, but I certainly got the idea. I got the gist of what you were asking or what you were trying to share with me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's more than enough, because if I could barely speak another language, and I'm at least getting my point across, then I've accomplished what I need to do.
Yeah, indeed. And also having a special device with you is also showing your effort you are willing to take to start a conversation. So it's not just grabbing your phone and using an app. No, you really made an effort to buy a device to have that conversation. So people really much like it and enjoy it as well. So I know a lot of people already who had a fantastic night only due to this device, and we're able to start conversation they were in the past not able to have.
A fantastic night, huh? Okay. how many languages, Brent, does Travis work with now?
At the moment, we support 105 languages due to the combination of several engines. But for speech-to-speech, our main focus is we are at about 70 languages at the moment.
Wow, that's still very impressive. And you say at the moment because clearly you're constantly adding languages and patterns of speech and words and I guess expressions and things that would be most commonly used or needed, especially while traveling.
Yes, indeed. So we are constantly looking for additional technology available. We are also developing ourselves to improve text recognition, to improve translation, and also to improve the pronunciation. So in the past we had the robot voice, and we want to have as many human voices for as many languages as possible.
Ah, very good. Well, let me know if you need an English voice. I'm happy to help out there. That would be something good. Now, I'm always listening to my listeners talking in my head, which is some people say I need some kind of other therapy for that. But what I'm hearing now in my head are people kind of yelling at their radio saying, well, but I've got that on my smartphone. Why do I need to carry a separate device? And to some degree, yeah, I guess with Google Translate, and it certainly isn't as efficient as Travis, but how do you answer those folks that say, why do I need a separate device?
Now, first of all, what I just said is making an effort for a special device shows your interest to start communicating. Second, a telephone at the moment is also having a lot of interference from text messages and phone calls and other stuff, which are seen as very private and personal. So having your phone at a table or in a bar shows also all the other messages coming in, and people often don't want to share that information with even their wives or others. So it is easier to have a conversation using a special device. And in addition, when you are traveling, for instance, in Cuba or other places, it's not very nice to hand over your expensive mobile phone or cell phone to a taxi driver or something. And yeah, then it's easier to have the device separately. And that's for the consumer market. In addition, we are also focusing on the B2B market. And then we say, okay, a doctor or a policeman, yeah, it should be part of their equipment and not dependent on the tech savviness of the individual officer or doctor.
True. And as I said earlier and on the air previously, it does a much better job, I think, in my experience anyway, traveling various parts of the world, than separately trying to use my phone. That's true. Not only would they see messages coming in and just the interruptions and, oh, sorry, hold on, whatever, but it's a device that does what it does and does it very well. Is it perfect? Yeah. Absolutely not. And I'm sure you'd be the first to admit it's not perfect yet. We're not quite there with the Star Trek translator or something that
instantly does it. No, we are aiming for understanding. We are aiming for understanding. So yeah, not for perfect translation. Of course, we are aiming in the long run for perfect translation, but for now, it is about perfectly able to understand each other. And indeed, it is specially designed for this purpose. And in addition, it also helps you by being a hotspot and other services facilitating you during your trips and being abroad.
And that's another good point, Brent, because if, like, I had the opportunity in most places I was at to be on Wi-Fi, you know, certainly in a restaurant and in various places you had the ability for Wi-Fi, airports, etc. So it worked out well. There were only a couple of occasions where, you know, wow, it would have been nice to have that international SIM card, and I could see where people could use it if you're off the beaten path or, you know, you're outside of a business and so forth, but not totally necessary. And then, of course, there's, you know, less of an expense. Speaking of expense, how does one obtain a Travis device?
At the moment, we are selling our device via our web shop directly. So travistranslator.com is our web shop, and that's where you can buy it.
Okay, so of course online at travistranslator.com, and that was not Travis making noise in the background. That was my new Note 9 that didn't get muted. So shame on me. But see, there's another problem. If I was trying to communicate with you in another language,
always the phone disturbing.
Yes, exactly. The phone is always interrupting one way or the other, whether it's an interview or otherwise. How much does Travis cost in U.S. dollars?
$249 US.
Okay. And then you pay for it once. Do you pay a subscription or do you pay monthly? You just buy it and travel.
I really advise those people to be fast because I expect that there will be a subscription soon. But for now, when you buy it, there will be unlimited support. So no additional cost.
Terrific. And 105 languages. Who do you find for the most part uses Travis?
Yeah, there is a very differentiated audience. So mostly it is those are travelers or business people, so those individuals, but a growing amount of people are also having it for their professional usage, so like doctors and other people, yeah, having experienced language barriers where they go or having patients in their consulting rooms.
I can certainly see where that can be very handy. I mean, for a great example for a doctor or someone in healthcare industry to invest in a Travis and be able to say, wait, I got you covered. Hold on, no problem. And then you can scroll through these languages and actually communicate back and forth. And the patient has got to feel a whole lot more comfortable at that point as well, knowing that you have certainly their best interests in mind health-wise as well.
Yeah, indeed. So you you already have the pain you have to suffer yourself in your body, so you don't have to suffer pain from having a language barrier, as we say.
Very true. Now, what makes Travis different from your very first product when you first came out with a translator device?
Now, what we did is because we launched it via Indiegogo, we get a lot of response, and that's helping us in a lot of ways to improve the product. So what we did is mostly improve the user interface and to make it easier to use, and also being able to add more features in the nearby future. So having a bigger screen, a bigger touchscreen as well, better buttons. Yeah, it is all focused on user experience because the software in the background is still the same. But the front end, how you use it, is much improved. So also due to all the feedback we got from our first backers.
Terrific. And what language do you speak?
I speak Dutch.
Dutch,
and
okay.
English, I suppose, because I'm living in the Netherlands and born there. We are a Dutch company, but also having a very strong connection to the U.S. And in the meanwhile, we do a lot of business in Asia, and then it's always easy to have this device. So I'm a big user and big fan myself as well.
Well, very good. And of course, that was kind of a silly question. What language do you speak? And I'm asking you in English, and you're answering me in English, obviously. But I think what's cool about that is that one can scroll through the available languages, and then the person you're trying to communicate with, if you're not sure, can just simply point or tap on their country flag, and up it comes, so that right away you have the ability to communicate very effectively. And I think it just makes it very easy for people to be able to do just that. And I'm going to try something right here live. Let's see what happens. Brent, thank you very yes. much for joining us on the show today. One moment.
Brent, hartelijk bedankt dat je vandaag op de show bent geweest.
Perfectly Dutch, and I fully understand. Thank you as well.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us again. TravisTranslator.com. We'll link you there, of course, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. And you see, it does work. Dave Graveline bringing you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network. Now I'm going to go out and translate some more.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $15,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-213-5082. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. Call 800-213-5082. That's 800-213-5082. 800-213-5082.
Sometime into tomorrow, the car will automatically pick you up and take you where you want to go, but there will probably be a lot more fender benders until it does the job as promised. So if you've got questions, for example, about autonomous vehicles, we're here to help with those as well as anything involving consumer tech. I'm Dave Graveline.
And I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you by Dexcom, accurate glucose readings for people with diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's DEXCOM.com.
Jonathan in Atlanta, Georgia, listens on AM 820, The Answer.
What would be the best laptop to buy for the money and value and service?
Well, Jonathan, there really isn't a best laptop for the money, value, and service. A laptop is only as good as its ability to meet your needs. So if what you want to do is, like, log into a website to pay your electric bill and then maybe play something on Netflix, and probably a Chromebook would be a great choice that wouldn't cost you too much and would be effortless in terms of updates. Now, if you're interested in playing games, then you'd want an expensive, heavy laptop. Probably something like MSI or Alienware would be your best choice of manufacturer. not necessarily cheapest by any means.
Yeah, generally speaking, cheap laptops are cheap for a reason and tend not to last too long. And expensive laptops are longer living and better, but odds are that you would know it if you happen to need a $2,000 laptop.
Yeah.
That means that you can at least rule out two expensive brands that regularly score high in reliability, Microsoft and Apple. Both start out much cheaper than $2,000, but either's most current models will be in the four digits. Your choice of other brands is vast, but in late 2018, some of the best scoring brands for reliability were Lenovo, HP, and Dell. So looking at a mid-range laptop by one of them might be a good way to start.
Yeah. And again, earlier, as we mentioned, you might want to consider a Chromebook if that'll take care of your needs. Jonathan, do let us know, though, what you end up with and why, because that will help other listeners who have a very similar question. And if you have a similar question or otherwise, 800-899-INTO.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation? Drops in the dollar's value? Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Welcome back into Tomorrow on this Super Bowl weekend. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Do you get our free once-a-week tech newsletter?
You know it.
Well, I'm not asking you.
Oh.
I'm asking our wonderful listeners.
Oh, yeah. Show of hands. Keep one on the wheel if you're driving. Oh, most everybody does, but some might not yet.
Well, if you don't, it's very easy to get to. You stop by intotomorrow.com. A box will pop up asking for your email address. You put your email address in that box, and then you'll get a confirmation link via email that you click.
Yeah. It's called a double opt-in program because we don't spam anyone, so you've got to be sure and click the link that we'll send you. That gets you our free once-a-week tech newsletter, jam-packed with all sorts of things. Believe it or not, some tech news. Who's on the show this week? Some thoughts to make you smile. Some other cool information, as well as
we even answer some of the questions that we've got coming up on the on that weekend show.
Oh, we answer them?
We tell you who's calling in with what question. So maybe you have a similar question, so you want to make sure you tune in.
There you go.
And we've got Beth's tech tip this week. It's a super time to use your tech this weekend. Many will be celebrating and watching what they consider the greatest sporting event of the year, and you can use your favorite online device to join in.
Yeah, and also we talk about VPN. Being a powerful tool for guarding your online privacy and security. But did you know about the added benefits? Well, we've got them all for you in this week's Into Tomorrow Tech Newsletter. Again, it's free. We hope you want to subscribe to it. If for any reason, we can't imagine that you want to unsubscribe, it's very easy. Just click unsubscribe at the bottom and you're done. But my gosh, we'd miss you. But otherwise, get it. Intotomorrow.com email address, and there you are.
And for as long as we've had the tech newsletter, which has been at least 20 of our 24 years, we have never shared anybody's email address, and we continue to never share your email address.
That's true. We lock them up in a vault, and they only get released just for the dispatch every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for the tech newsletter. And then we lock them right back up again. So they're out for like 8 seconds, but not to the world, just to going
right
to you. Intotomorrow.com is where we hope to meet you anytime.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks, available in your app store, or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.